You are listening to a Commonwealth Bank of Australia Global Economic and Markets Research Podcast. This podcast provides general market-related information and is not intended to be an investment research report. The information contained in this podcast is based on previously published material, and before listening, you're advised to read the full Global Economic and Markets Research Disclaimers, which can be found at combankresearch.com.au.
Welcome to the CommBank Global Economic and Markets Research Podcast. My name is Belinda Allen and I'm a senior economist here at CommBank. And today I'm joined by Gareth Aird, our head of Australian economics. Hi, Gareth.
Yeah, hi, Belinda.
So today we're going to talk about a topic I think that's, you know, close to everybody's heart and one that everybody takes an interest in, and that is the Australian housing market. Now, you've just published our most recent forecasts on the outlook for house prices. And I think when we take a step back and look at how the market has performed really since the outbreak of COVID-19 earlier in 2020, it's probably one of the sectors that has really defied some more negative expectations. How has the housing market really performed over the past 6 months or so?
That's correct. It's defied our expectations, and I think it's defied the expectations of most, at least so far anyway. We've had this huge negative shock to the economy, and we saw that in last week's national accounts figures, a massive contraction in GDP. We've had a big fall in employment. But the housing market, and house prices in particular, have not fallen by the levels that you would think just based on how big the economic shock has actually been. And if we look at the market by capital cities, because with the housing market, it's one of those things where there's a market in a market in a market. And if we actually look at the individual markets and we go down to the capital city level, you see there's quite a disparity in outcomes. And it's been actually surprising to us that in some of the smaller capital cities, prices are either flat or even up a little bit. So on the whole, the market has held up better than we thought. And we've revised our forecasts accordingly. I should actually add that when we made our forecast last back in April, we flagged at the time that there were two risks to our view that prices would fall 10%. The upside scenario was basically that the government policymakers got on top of the virus and we ended up with an earlier reopening than expected. And the downside case was that we got a second round of infections and we went back into another lockdown. And as it turns out,
We've had both.
You know, in everywhere bar Victoria, we've had a successful earlier than expected reopening of the economy, and then in Victoria, unfortunately, they've had the second lockdown, and so it's a strange scenario where both risks materialise. But you can see that in how it's impacted in house prices, where the biggest falls, the clear biggest falls, have been in Melbourne.
And we've certainly seen that with other indicators that we watch as well. So in particular, consumer spending has fallen heavily in Victoria compared to other states. We've also seen that in the labour market as well, where the Victorian situation, obviously with stage three, now stage four lockdowns, has impacted the labour market in a more dramatic way than elsewhere. So turning our attention to what the outlook for residential property prices are from here, and I guess before we get to the exact forecast, I think it's helpful to provide some information about how we go and forecast house prices, and in particular, what are some of the really important variables that we look at? What are some of the things that go into the model to help you determine what the outlook is?
Yeah, it's a good question. We've done quite a bit of work on this to try and work out what are the key inputs that go into where dwelling prices end up landing. In other words, what is it worth looking at that's a forward-looking indicator of where dwelling prices are likely to go? And we think there's a few things. In fact, our model tells us that there's a few things that are really good guides to where prices are likely to go, particularly in the short run. And so they are the change in mortgage rates, the flow of credit, so basically new lending. You've got auction clearance rates, which are a very good near-term guide of sentiment in the market. They tend to lead prices. And then also there's a measure in the Westpac Melbourne Institute monthly consumer sentiment survey that relates to the household perception of prices, and that is also quite a good near-term guide of prices. So our modelling, when we do it with those inputs, that gives us a pretty good handle on where we think prices are likely to go, at least in the next 6 months. And that's pointed to an improvement over the last few months, and we're starting now to see that in the actual price outcomes.
And so when we think about how house prices will perform over the rest of 2020 and probably the early stages of 2021 is based on that model, how much we can get visibility for, what is the price outlook from here?
Yeah, look, so the model's still pointing to further price falls, and that's still, I think, what the momentum in the national market is signalling, that prices will slide a little bit further from here, particularly given the situation down in Victoria. So there's been no change in momentum in the Melbourne property market, and prices are still falling there at a reasonably brisk pace compared to the rest of the country. And given that restrictions are going to be in play there at least for a few more months, we've got pretty high conviction that down in Melbourne the prices will keep falling. For the rest of the country, though, it looks like we're going to get varied outcomes across the capital city. So Sydney is still expected to fall over the next 3 to 6 months or so, albeit not at a too brisk a pace. And then Brisbane prices will probably come off a little bit. And then in the rest of the country, it looks like prices will either be flat to up a little bit. So all up, our view is that the national market will probably end up coming off about 6% from its peak in April of this year, which is a pretty small fall when you consider all the dynamics that have been in play. But then when we look at outcomes by capital city, it's our expectation that Melbourne prices are going to land down about twice that of the national average at 12%. Sydney maybe somewhere around the area of 7%. And then, as I said, across the other markets, much smaller falls or even up a little bit over that period.
It's interesting. Like, one of the most common pushbacks, I guess, changing the house price forecast is looking at the supply on the market. So really, housing turnover leading into 2020 was pretty low. What are we seeing in terms of turnover now? Is that still differing by state, or is that something that's you're taking a look at in terms of your forecasts?
So it's very different by a capital city, and Melbourne is the outlier on basically every metric at the moment. But if we look at Sydney, which is our biggest market, listings and sales are actually up over the last 3 or 4 weeks on the same period a year ago. So historically, supply is still pretty low, but from where we were 12 months ago, supply in our biggest market is actually up, and we've seen auction clearance rates firm quite a bit in Sydney. So look, forecasting isn't an exact science, as we always stress, and no doubt some of our point estimates will end up being off a little bit. But we sort of are most interested in getting the story across to our listeners and our readers, and that is that the housing market at the national level has performed better than I think pretty much everyone expected going into this period. There are definitely signs that things will, in our view, stabilise as we get into early next year. And then, and I haven't really even mentioned this as yet, but we think once again what will come back to be the dominant driver of what people are willing to pay for a property will come down to be the level of the borrowing rate, so interest rates. And we've seen the incredible impact that rate cuts can have on prices in the past. Last year was a case in point. And we think once again, once the economy is on at the national level on a sustained trend recovery, if you like, then prices should, in our view, start to rise because of where the borrowing rate is.
Oh, you preempted me. So that was going to be my next question. I was going to ask you, in the second half of 2021, would we return to having interest rates more as the dominant driver? Like, our current thinking on the Reserve Bank of Australia is that the official cash rate will remain on hold at 0.25% for a prolonged period of time. So that's obviously still in our forecast horizon. If anything, the RBA is talking about what else they could do to ease monetary policy and get borrowing costs lower throughout the whole of the economy. Does that feed through into your thinking about not only what the second half of 2021 looks like, but also the balance of risks at the moment?
Yeah, so there's quite a few forces that are influencing outcomes at the moment. And we would argue that one of the reasons, or the main reason why prices actually haven't fallen all that much nationally is the housing market had support come through with interest rate cuts. And it was the rate cuts of last year that generated that huge lift in prices, basically heading into COVID. So if you can recall, the market was very hot right up until March this year when COVID-19 arrived in Australia. Then clearly momentum changed very, very quickly. But it's our view that once the economy is on a firmer or more entrenched recovery path, and you could argue that if it wasn't for what's happened in Victoria at the moment, we would already be in an economic recovery. But once you know the situation in Victoria improves, then you'll see some of those headwinds on the market start to dissipate, and then it will be that borrowing cost that once again becomes the dominant driver of what someone is willing to pay for a property. And you know, the central bank policy is an amazing thing. We can see how the cost of money influences all asset prices. I mean, the equities at the moment are being well supported by where the borrowing rate is. And ultimately, the value of an asset comes down to its return, the risk-free rate. And so for property, you're looking at what is the borrowing cost versus the rental yield or versus the return you can get in another asset. And so it's our view that as we get into next year, that borrowing rate will actually be and end up being supportive of property prices. And on our forecast, we see quite a decent recovery occurring in the second half of next year.
And the balance of risks, I mean, you've talked about kind of what it could happen, but in terms of the end of 2021, but there's still some downside risks on the scenario. I guess the path of the virus is still very unknown. We know lockdowns obviously do have an impact on not only the economy but the market. Any thoughts on that?
That's exactly right. I think until we get a vaccine, there's always going to be the risk now of another outbreak in COVID-19. And we don't necessarily know what the policy response would be to another outbreak, but there is, of course, the risk that we experience some kind of lockdown in parts of the country again. And we're starting to now get a handle on what kind of economic impact you get from a lockdown. And so if parts of the country were to go back into lockdown, then we would expect a negative impact on the economy, on the labour market, and then also on the property market. So there's absolutely downside risks to our forecast, particularly over the near term, while COVID-19 is still lingering in the country. But look, I think when you think about later on next year, there is an upside risk case, of course, that we get a vaccine, the economy actually ends up improving quicker than most on a recovery path that is probably stronger than a lot of people anticipate. And you know, with borrowing rates incredibly low, it's possible that we end up in a situation where prices rise even firmer than we forecast. Particularly, we've seen the housing market, it's a unique beast, and it can get a self-perpetuating momentum to it where expectations of rising prices create more demand. FOMO can creep into the market again, and then prices can almost decouple, if you like, from the economy, and we saw that in 2019. So lots of outcomes are possible. It's our job as forecasters to put out there what we think is our central scenario or the most likely outcomes, and that's what we've done this week. And if we're right, what it means is that the price falls all up nationally won't end up being too big, and there will be a recovery that kicks in the second half of next year.
It's nice to hear a somewhat brighter outlook than some of the issues that we've been talking about lately. Gareth, appreciate your insights as always.
A pleasure, Belinda.
You can find Gareth Aird's piece on the outlook for residential property prices published on the 9th of September 2020 on combankresearch.com.au.